Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, and welcome back. This is Rachel Keene, Conservative Mama. I'm here with the host of the show, John Rush, on Rush to Reason. We're at the final hour.
Yes,
we're
last
hour. We're going to talk about some infrastructure, or lack thereof.
Good job, by the way, bringing us in.
Well, thank you.
You're
so
learning
much.
Well.
I am. Thank you.
I love teaching people to do stuff like that. It's a piece of cake, by
thank
the way.
You. Thank
Very
you.
Very easy. So good job. Yeah, awesome. Let's talk infrastructure.
Yeah.
Because, again, we talked earlier about the Georgia law and how the left is using that in really as a tool to gain, how should I say this? They're basically manipulating. They're making it seem like there's something going on in Georgia, by the way, that's not going on.
Right. It's just terrible. They're trying to suppress the vote. They don't like how the election turned out, so they're trying to suppress the vote. That's the narrative
and
they're
that's
going
not,
with
yeah. And folks,
it's not
no.
True.
It's not what's going on at all there. And I've disproven that already. I did that yesterday. Did a little bit more in these first 2 hours. But let's talk infrastructure
let's
as to this $2 billion,
oh my gosh.
Essentially $2 billion plan. And I'm going to break this down for a few of you because—
$2 trillion.
Yeah, $2 trillion. Sorry, yeah. $2 billion. $2 trillion. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
With a T.
With a T. I know. And we just toss that number around like it's no big deal, but it's $2 trillion.
A lot of money.
Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. That is a thousand billions.
It's a lot of money.
Okay, thousand
that
billions.
We're paying.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. Another thing too. The government.
They have no government. They have no money.
It's us. It's the American taxpayer that's forking over $2 trillion.
That's right. And I want to put some of these numbers into perspective because you're going to be told again from Uncle Joe and others that this is a great bill. It's going to put people back to work. This, that, and the other. Again, folks, hogwash.
Right.
No, it's not. So let me break a few things down for you. The first thing you're going to hear is this is to make sure we have good roads and bridges and things to drive on.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yep, there's only $115 billion of the $2 trillion being earmarked for roads, for modernizing, by the way, bridges, highways, roads, and main streets that are in the most critical need of repair. So do you want me to put this in context?
Yeah.
The $115 billion?
Yes.
So this is really easy to do the math. There's how many states? 50?
50 states.
That doesn't count some of the other things we still take care of when it comes to like Guam and Puerto Rico and the territory. So really there's more than 50,
right.
But we'll use 50 as a round number for the states, okay?
Okay.
So you take $115 billion and just let's say we divide that by two.
Okay.
Okay? Because there's 50 states,
right.
So 50 into that 115, just divide it in half.
Right.
So that each state gets equal. I don't know if that'll actually work out that way, but each state roughly gets a little over $2 billion then is what we're talking about.
Okay.
Correct?
For infrastructure. For roads and
right.
bridges.
Two times 50 is 100.
Okay.
100 billion.
Okay.
To put that into context, and I talk about this a lot on this program, our CDOT budget, which by the way is underfunded.
Okay.
Our CDOT budget just to keep things maintained in this state. That includes snow removal, you know, mowing some of the grassy areas around, you know, picking up litter, sweeping, pothole repair, and
right.
so on. Our CDOT budget in this state is around $1.3 to $1.4 billion.
Wow.
That's what the state of Colorado spends, which, by the way, it's underfunded.
Right.
We can't get through the legislature.
Oh, we're always complaining about
roads.
Yeah.
We cannot
all the time.
Get through the legislature. We actually need about $3 billion a year to really do what this state needs
right.
to keep things looking so that there's not a line in the road when you go to Utah, New Mexico, Kansas, or Wyoming.
Right.
Because there is a line in the road when you go to those other states.
Yeah.
Where theirs begins and ours ends.
Right.
Or if you're coming backwards,
right.
it's the same way.
And we have a ton of tourists here. I mean, a lot of people on our roads.
So if you think for 1 second that adding $2 billion to the state
it's
of Colorado's budget is going to change anything,
no.
You are dumb as a rock.
Right.
It's not going to change
no.
anything. And there's not a state out there that giving them $2 billion for their roads, bridges, and so on is going to make an iota of difference.
Right.
It's not, folks.
They're presenting it like this big, beautiful, bold, you know, we're going to revamp America and really build our infrastructure, when they're not spending anything really in the scope of things on infrastructure.
No. So let me give you a few other things they're spending it on.
Okay.
That's $115 billion, but we're going to almost double that and spend $174 billion on electric vehicle charging stations.
Get out of here.
Half a million of them. So instead of spending it on things we're already using, we're going to spend this on things that we may not use or may use. It's hard to say.
We're
going to also spend a whopping $80 billion on something that, in my opinion, is as pitiful as a post office. That would be called Amtrak.
See, but just look, you can see the lobbyists. Play here.
$80 billion on Amtrak. Almost as much as we're going to spend on roads and bridges on Amtrak.
Right.
Amtrak can go.
This is where our money goes. It goes to the lobbyists that lobbied. Look, we need electric cars. We need Amtrak. What else is here?
Infrastructure resiliency to withstand climate-related disasters, which, by the way, there are none. But we're going to take $50 billion, half of what we would spend on roads and bridges, to do that.
Wow.
Modernize public transit. $85 billion, doubling federal funding for public transit. In other words, folks, they don't want you driving on roads, bridges, and highways. They want you taking public transit or other things that they think suit you better than what we currently do now.
Wow.
$25 billion to upgrade airports. Improve road safety.
What does that mean?
I haven't the foggiest idea, but it's $20 billion.
$20 billion on improved road safety.
$20 billion on connecting neighborhoods historically cut off by investments, whatever that means.
What does that mean?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
Can they please explain it?
Connect neighborhoods historically cut off by investments.
What neighborhoods have been cut off by investments?
None that I know of. $17 billion on inland waterways, coastal ports, land ports of entry, and ferries. And by the way, that one, I've seen some of our areas around some of our ports and so on. That one's probably legitimate. Whether it's the right number or not, I have no idea.
Right.
I have no problem spending money on some of those areas where it basically brings us goods and services and so on.
Who comes up with these numbers? Like, who's the guy that's like, okay, we need to use $215 billion on this and $100 billion over here? Like, who is that guy?
I have foggiest idea. Our next item, or list of items.
Okay.
We're going to spend $650 billion on the quality of life at home.
What?
This plan focuses on American homes, school buildings, underground water infrastructure, and broadband expansion.
Wait, what? Okay, quality at home? Like, who's this person that's checking on the quality of people's homes?
We are going to spend $213 billion retrofitting more than 2 million homes and commercial properties. $100 billion to expand broadband access. $100 billion to upgrade public school buildings, which, by the way, we learned through coronavirus we don't need.
No.
Water infrastructure, including $45 billion to eliminate all lead pipes and $56 billion to modernize America's drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater system. That's $111 billion. By the way, folks, that one, out of all of these...
Yeah, I agree with that. We shouldn't be drinking out of lead pipes
You know what chaps my hide? These cities and counties have had more than enough money over the years to do this on their own. Why do I, as a taxpayer, have to fund this for a city and town that didn't think ahead and get it done on their own?
Who still is drinking out of lead pipes?
People in Detroit still are, I think.
Oh my God.
There's communities around that are. But again, these are communities that know that's there.
Right.
Why have they not solved this problem on their own? And why do I have to take my hard-earned tax dollars to pay for what they haven't been able to do, which I guarantee you, if I go to these cities and towns that have these problems, they've got a gazillion social programs that I'm also funding.
Right.
That's my problem when we talk about infrastructure needs like this, when these cities and towns could have done it on their own.
And another thing, will it go there?
You know,
like they say, hey, we're going to use this money for this. And then almost always, it's not used for that.
And by the way, I'm like you. I am for clean water.
Yeah,
yes.
It gets wasted.
Public housing projects, $40
billion.
VA hospital and clinics. This one also chaps my hide. $18 billion, which, by the way, we don't need at all. The VA needs a complete revamp. I've talked to experts on this program many, many times. Each vet needs a card allowing them to go see any doctor, hospital, or clinic they want to get fixed up. And in my opinion, other than some of these special needs areas where we do need specific VA hospitals across the country, shut the rest down.
Yeah. Let them choose where they want to go.
We do not need to spend $18 billion in this area.
Right.
Sorry, we don't. Plug orphan oil and gas wells, $16 billion. By the way, that should be done by whoever owns those wells.
Yeah.
If they're orphaned, I guess nobody does, but that community could handle that as far as I'm concerned. $27 billion on clean energy and sustainable accelerator. Sorry, sustainability accelerator. $25 billion on upgrade of child care facilities in high-need areas. Again, these cities and towns in those particular areas should be able to do that themselves. And this is one of the things I'll talk to Scott when he comes up here, Scott Garlis at 5:30, is, and we've talked about this with Jordan Goodman many, many times, is it my fault that places like New York City, which are continually raising taxes on the rich and trying to get their what they think is a fair share, running their own people off, creating their own demise, which will then at some point be a high needs area because of their own stupidity. Why right. is that my problem?
I don't know.
Make sense? You understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I got you.
The reason a lot of these areas have high needs is because of some stupid Democrat leadership for the past umpteen jillion years that hasn't done things correctly. And now all of a sudden, as a taxpayer, it's my fault.
Right.
I'm cleaning it up.
Right.
Isn't that always the way it works? A conservative cleans up the mess left by a Democrat?
Always. Always.
This is a prime example.
Yes.
We'll come back. We're not done yet. We'll come back. Gino's Auto Service, by the way, is up next, and they want to help you take care of your vehicle needs, speaking of transportation.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm one that says drive your own car, keep it maintained, make it last long, put your money where your mouth is, and let's make things work and last as long as we possibly can, and Gino's can do that for you. In Littleton for 38 years now, 303-794-6700.
For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Gino's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Franktown Firearms, folks, is next. And as we talk about the wait time, it's 4+ days now to buy a gun. So if you're interested, I've been saying it now for 2 weeks. Get it done now. Do not delay. They've got it in stock. If not, they can get it for you. They've got ammo. They've got training. They've got accessories. You name it. It's all at Franktown Firearms. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, and Charlie Grimes, your engineer. We're talking about the, I don't know what to call this thing. It ain't an infrastructure bill.
No, it's not. We should. That's right.
This is pork spending.
Yes.
This is a pork bill. $2 trillion pork bill is what this is. There is $100 billion for the electric grid improval of, although I'm not sure what that exactly means. My guess is a large percentage of that will go to wind and solar.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
But our grid is so vulnerable.
Well,
like
so
Charlie
fragile.
Was saying, yeah.
Very fragile.
Like you hack that thing, we're done. And that we should be spending a lot more if we're going to be spending money on building that up, making it secure, not vulnerable. And it is very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. So after we went ahead and said a bunch of, I know I'm going to be sort of facetious in saying this, but it's true, because there were certain states, about 7 or 8 of them, that literally took old people, sent COVID patients to those nursing homes and killed them off. But so I guess to pay some of those folks back.
Terrible.
Number three is caregivers for elderly and people with disability. Biden wants to pump $400 billion to improve access to quality, affordable home or community-based health care for the elderly and people with disabilities. So $400 billion, just to go to what I just said right there. For too long, this is a quote by him, for too long, caregivers have been unseen, underpaid, and undervalued. And by the way, folks, I love all the people that do those things. I realize we've got an elderly population, and you know, if I were there, I'd want to be cared for well. So I'm not saying anything bad about those individuals,
right?
Other than I will say this, and I always have, and I always will. You agree to do the job you're doing at the price you're doing it for. Don't come whining to me when you don't think you make enough money.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. And I know that sounds really, really cold-hearted, but it's like the minimum wage, and we want it to be $15 an hour. I never said anybody had to work at minimum wage forever. Minimum wage jobs are supposed to be a step up into the next
temporary
job.
Right.
They were never meant to be a career. So I do not feel bad when somebody goes out and makes $15 an hour. They can improve their skills, do whatever they need to, make themselves more valuable as an employee, or go start their own business and make more money. This is still the land of opportunity when it comes to that. Don't come whining to me because you make $12 an hour.
Right. And I think it's important to talk about the fact that we're talking about $2 trillion, which is just a massive amount of money. We're hurting right now as an economy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have jobs. Our unemployment's still high.
Yes.
And now we're going to, this is what Biden wants to do in order to create this, you know, infrastructure bill and put it forward.
And by the way, I'm going to keep reminding everybody, the original infrastructure thing I mentioned starting out was roughly $15 billion.
Right. Okay. Right.
Keep in mind some of the numbers I've been sharing with you on.
Right.
In correlation to that.
Right. He's going to raise the corporate tax rate. Like, that's how he's going to do this,
mm-hmm.
which is going to hurt people even more.
Mm-hmm. So number four, research, development, and manufacturing. So one of the items, keep in mind the number I just gave you, the $115 billion.
Right.
We want to spend $50 billion for a new office to monitor domestic industrial capacity. $50 billion to monitor domestic industrial capacity.
What is that? What is that?
It's a new office that will have a governmental office that will do nothing but monitor what our capacity is. Yeah, more government.
More government.
Bigger government.
Bigger government. This whole thing John, is bigger government. Like, when you start to break these numbers down, all of this money, these are going to create jobs that we're now, once you expand government, it's almost impossible to retract this thing, right? It's
You spend $50 billion on a new office. That's not going to work.
We're looking at $2 trillion to expand our federal government is what we're looking at.
And just, again, I'm not any kind of a super, you know, brainiac mathematician or anything along those lines. But, you know, I think you could take a zero off of that 50.
Yeah.
And for $5 billion, I'll tell you what the capacity is.
Right.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
There's the answer, folks.
Right.
What is the domestic industrial capacity? Has anybody driven across Texas? Anybody driven across Kansas? Anybody driven across Southern Colorado, Eastern Colorado? I mean, what is our capacity as a country when it comes to the industrial side of things? As much as we want it to be.
Right.
As much as we want to incentivize it to be. I don't need to spend $50 billion for that answer.
No.
We've lost our ever-loving mind?
Yes, we have.
Oh, my word. This is ridiculous, people.
It is ridiculous, and it's sad. It's so sad, and you want to stop it. I know people are listening, and they're like, please make it stop.
It's not.
Because you hear that with everything. Okay, now we're expanding our federal government, and what does the government do right? Rarely anything.
Nothing.
Right?
So zero.
We have an open border. People are pouring into our country, but there's no crisis, but there's a major crisis happening. Like, now they're talking about vaccine passports. It's one thing after another, and if you're like me, it's like, oh my gosh, make it stop. Make it stop.
Here's one that businesses will love. $48 billion for American workforce development, infrastructure, and worker protection. In other words, more OSHA.
Okay.
We're going to expand OSHA there is what we're going to do for $48 billion. And unions. And Charlie unions. Said he's, yeah, unions. Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, he's still talking about unions all
unions
the time.
Unions and OSHA, there you go,
Biden,
48
he
billion.
He gets a chance to talk about unions. He, like, wants to take us back to, like, 1950s. He's always talking about the unions, unions.
Folks, I'm here to tell you, and this would have never happened, but this is what should have happened. $2 trillion, if we were going to spend that, should have went to one place and one place only. Real, true infrastructure
right.
in building and expanding roads, bridges, highways, beaten down areas where, you know, you can just look at things that are crumbling apart, whether that be roadways or whether it be dams, whether it be, you know, building more dams for water storage and hydro. I mean, I can go down the list, folks. There are so many things
right.
we need to be doing as a country because we have squandered that money and spent it on other things we didn't need to, by the way, handouts. Actually, welfare, things along those lines. We have literally, pardon my language, screwed ourselves in this area. We're going to do it one more time because out of $2 trillion, we're going to spend a pittance, $115
Tiny.
Billion dollars on the things I just mentioned.
Right. And see, this just to simplify this whole thing. Okay, so you're looking at $2 trillion. Now, if you're really going to invest in our infrastructure, right, you're going to invest in roads and bridges and really pour that money into our country, then that raises the value of our country,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it
like,
does.
Okay, I can see the value. It's an investment into
right.
our country.
That's
it's
right.
like,
it is.
It's like you got your home, right? And you decided to renovate your kitchen and upgrade
That's
it
right.
and make it better. It raises the value
That's
of
exactly
your home.
Right.
But this
does nothing.
This does nothing. This is literally lighting money on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you look through this list I just gave you all, by the way, and I would love to see the numbers that they estimate this will employ, it will be nowhere close to what I told you we could employ if we went through and actually redid our infrastructure coast to coast and really figure out where are those areas that we need to shore things up
right.
and write those checks there, we would be much better off. And by the way, the ancillary business that comes out of doing what I just said far exceeds anything on this list.
Right.
Because of, by the way, if we do what I said, took $2 trillion and put it into roads and bridges and
right.
fixing the things we need to do infrastructure-wise, sewer pipes, water pipes, all that
yeah.
kind of stuff, if we actually did that, can you think about, for a second, the ancillary businesses that benefit from all of what I just said?
Tons.
Yeah, that $2 trillion becomes $10 trillion
right.
overnight, easily.
Right. But, John, this is what happens when you have career politicians, people that have never held a private sector job,
right.
making the decisions for our country. That's
right.
what's happening. Biden, 47 years in government, knows nothing outside of government.
Yep.
All he knows is to expand government. Guy has no clue what he's doing right now.
Nope.
None.
Nope. All right. We'll talk to Scott Garlis, get his opinion on this. I'm sure Wall Street loves this. We'll talk to Scott in a minute and find out. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. And again, I want to help you with your vehicle, folks. I said it a moment ago, vehicle prices are going to go up. The cost of fixing your vehicle is going to go up. Why? Because inflation is going up. Real quick, this is a number I'll talk to Scott about. I did the math this morning. The government will tell you inflation is 1.4%. It's not. The reason it's not is because they don't include gasoline and food in that number. By the time you wrap gasoline and food, which, by the way, we all use,
yeah.
the number's around 3%.
Ouch.
1.6, 1.7% higher than what the government's saying. So is there inflation right now? Yeah, 3% plus, by the way, because I think those are conservative numbers. So what am I getting at? Get your vehicle fixed now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Whatever you need, get it done. Get it handled. Be ahead of the game. Go to Extreme Auto Repair and get that done today. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right? Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Oh, Scott, here we go.
Okay.
No, Scott's next.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
not right now.
Oh.
Next. In a minute. And by the way, Scott will like this.
Yes, he will.
You are correct.
I know.
He's
I'm predicting.
He's in the Wall Street area,
yes.
And yes, he will like that. Now,
sorry if
when
I
it comes
that.
To infrastructure, and we're talking cars.
Right.
And to me, that's infrastructure. That's transportation.
Right.
That's what we should be doing as a country. By the way, you can do the same thing in your own family, much to what Rachel was talking about earlier. A good shop can do that, by the way. And I said this earlier, and I really mean this, folks. Some of you are driving vehicles where you look at it and you think, you know, if I just had this back to new, I'd keep driving it, and I wouldn't spend $50,000 on a new car. My average price now is $40,000. You could actually take what you have, recondition it, and keep driving it.
So fix it up.
If you don't like the way it looks, don't even like the color, guess what? That can be changed as well. Talk to a good shop. They would love to help you out. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at a good shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a good shop for auto body work and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we're back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes. By the way, this is not a done deal, so keep in mind this still has to run through its courses. The Wall Street Journal even says this will face an uphill battle when it goes through Congress and the Senate. So the reality is it's not a complete done deal, but we'll see. So Scott Garlish joining us now, Stansberry Research. Scott, what's going on today, sir?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So how was your vacation, by the way?
My vacation was awesome.
Oh,
we went to Key West, Florida.
Nice. I love that area, by the way. It's great.
Yeah, we've been going for about 20 years. My in-laws go for the month of March every year.
Okay.
We went this year. There aren't any cruise ships coming in, and there really weren't anyone that I would call a spring breaker.
Oh, nice.
But it's probably the most crowded it's ever been in 20 years.
Oh, yes, because of everyone's going to Florida. I went to Florida, too.
Yeah.
Everyone's heading to Florida.
Well, so what's it like to be open and be able to kind of do whatever you want to do, Scott? Is it nice?
It was great. And, I really felt like this was a window into what the rest of the country's looking at as it warms up a bit more and inoculations keep rolling out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been talking about pent-up demand.
Yeah.
So there's a restaurant we like to go to. We go like once a visit for lunch or dinner, and we called out there to get a reservation, and they said they don't have a reservation until May.
Oh, get out of here.
Good for them.
We got lucky because we made a couple of reservations. My wife made them a couple of weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, these places are booked. Like, if you show it up 5 minutes late, your reservation's lost.
Wow.
And then I tried to take my son, who's 8, and I wanted to take him on his first fishing trip. They have a bunch of salt flats, and they'll pull you around.
Okay.
And usually you go in 2 to 3 days, 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's good, actually.
I mean,
glad.
That's great think about the Florida economy right now. They're just...
They have to be booming.
Oh, my gosh.
Is the whole state that way, Scott?
Yeah, it really is. And we have some guys that work in Amelia. They're near Amelia Island, I think it is, right sort of the northern part of the state. And what they were telling us, it's very similar to what we heard from these merchants in Key West. They told us about 6 weeks ago it was dead, and then it's like somebody turned on the light switch.
Yeah.
And my guess is that's when the pace of immunization or inoculations really picked up, the vaccinations took off, and then they said it was like the economy just shot back to life. And, you know, everybody was wearing masks when they went to stores. There was nothing, I didn't see anything disorderly or anybody out of control.
Nice.
It was.
Well, and, you know, and Scott, I've been saying all along, even though I'm not a fan of the inoculations, because frankly, I think there's certain people, myself included, that frankly don't need one. But I didn't care if it was even a placebo shot. As long as it got people thinking they could go out and get in public, I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a really key thing. So the consumer is basically 70% of economic output on an annual basis.
Right.
And so consumer confidence is huge.
Yeah. It's everything, Scott, as you just said. It defines our economy, literally.
Exactly. And to your point, even if you were giving people a placebo shot and they were convinced they're better, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it does.
Right.
And so
where I think we're going to see, so right now people are very worried about a couple of things, like talking about supply chains being clogged up and not being able to get things. Like
that's already happening, Scott. Some of the guys that I consult with in the automotive end of it are already starting to see some of that, and have been now for about the last month when it comes to even certain auto parts and things like that. So I don't know what other industries are like, but in that industry, it's already happening. Mm.
Yeah. So what I think is going to start happening. So as we've talked about this a couple of times, you were telling me there's the Ford had a warehouse full of trucks out there because
Correct.
They couldn't get hold
no
of semiconductors.
Chips.
So right. And so one of the things that I think has driven a lot of that is, and we saw this around Christmas time and the holidays, is all these people that normally would travel abroad during the holidays, like go to the Caribbean, maybe go to Hawaii from the West Coast. You know, they weren't doing that. And so that money was being spent elsewhere. And that discretionary income was going toward things like computers, video games, phones.
Yeah.
So it was creating demand that wasn't there before because they really couldn't go anywhere or they were afraid to. So I think what we're going to start to see is these people start going back out to restaurants more, start going back out and just traveling more. They're going to stop buying some of those goods and some of that inflated demand, like bicycles. I talked to the guys in my bike shop. I rode 12,000 miles last year. I ride all the time. I'm always getting a bike fixed. And they've told me how demand skyrocketed, and it's hard to get a bike this
year. Yeah, you know, I've heard that here in town, too.
You couldn't find a bike last summer.
No, same deal here. No. Yes, I hear you. Exactly.
Yeah, and so what they'd explained to me was, When this first started, and I think we saw this in the semiconductor manufacturing space too, a lot of spaces, they thought this was going to be exactly like the economic crisis we experienced in 2008, 2009. So they wanted to get ahead of it, and they shut down production. Hmm. And instead what happened was they had this, at first people got freaked out, and then they saw this unexpected explosion where, like in the bike industry, all these people started buying bikes. And then all of a sudden the manufacturers were like, we got to turn it back on. Not only did they have people buying bikes, but they had even more people than they normally did. So demand picked way up. And even when they ramped demand back up, they couldn't keep up with it. Hmm. But so what I think you're going to start seeing is those, you know, incremental buyers that you picked up are going to start falling back out. And then you'll start to see that level off more.
Okay.
And that's when some of the supply chain stuff will start to come back out. And you'll start to, you know, and maybe some prices that may have elevated because of supply shortages will come back off a little bit. But
so what you're really saying is there's sort of been this false buying, if you would, or overbuying in some areas that we're now going to start to see level off. Is that what you're saying?
I am.
Okay.
But what we are going to see is that money, this economy, I think, is supercharged right now. And at the end of the year, you could be looking at something like 8% economic output in terms of growth.
Okay.
And you could see us take back, basically we'll get back to the levels and then some where we were in 2019.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope you're right. By the way, I think a lot of what you're saying could very well happen. My fear is, and I looked at this today, is, you know, we're already running at 3% inflation. That's governmental numbers, which, by the way, I don't necessarily totally believe. And that 3% is coming from, if you include, you know, gas, by the way, which we all use, and food, which, by the way, we all eat, which I don't understand why that's not in the regular inflation numbers anyways, because it's two of the biggest things most people spend money on.
Yeah.
But so it's 1.4 or at 1.3 or 4, Scott, if you take those two, you know, those two numbers out, if you add, though, food and gas back in, you're up around that 3%, which I know the feds want to see, you know, 2 or so. And the reality is they're there and then some. And I think that's going to tick up more.
So the number that the Federal Reserve in particular looks at is personal consumption expenditures. And so that what that measures is a wide array of out-of-pocket costs. And what that number was, it came out, what was it, like last week? It's running at 1.6% right now.
Okay.
So that is below their 2% target. And the problem is the Fed, they Ben Bernanke, when he was chief of the Fed, he introduced a target, the 2% target, in 2012. And ever since 2012, the Fed hasn't been able to hit that 2% target. Mm. So now they're saying they want to see it basically on a sustained basis. So think of sustained being like average. So what they want to see is they want to see inflation pick up and stay above the 2% level for an extended period of time where they feel like the average is coming back up to 2%. So that's why it's going to take – that tells me it's going to take a really hot economy that's going to last for a while, that's going to get that inflation – you know, inflation might pick up, and but they don't want to jump at the first sight because it could level back off. So – yes, I do think inflation is going to pick up, but my question would be, how sustained is that inflation going to be?
Well, and the question I guess I have for you is, how accurate are some of the numbers that they're using? Because, you know, one of the key numbers that I look at is food right now is up 3.6%. Now, we all eat, at least last time I checked, we all ate. I think if you want to survive till tomorrow and the next day, you're going to. So we're at 3.6% there, and energy is 2.4%. And 1.7 on all other items, and then they've got, of course, core inflation down at, you know, 1.3 because that excludes food and energy. So I guess the question I have is, all those things that I just mentioned do have a factor upon people spending money daily. Why do they not factor that in?
They try to look at core numbers, because they can be food prices and gasoline prices or fuel prices can fluctuate so wildly sometimes. Like, you know, one of the things with gasoline always runs the U.S. Prices run up into July 4th, which is the peak travel season, right, and then they drop back off.
Yeah, they'll start here this next month as we get close to Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
At least here in Colorado, they start running up here. We got about 4 more weeks of them being where they're at now without any, you know, anything happening worldwide. Yeah. They'll stay level, and we'll start seeing an increase right before Memorial Day. Now, so one question for you, real quick, along these lines.
Yeah.
I did read, and something I was going to talk about today and didn't get a chance to, so this is perfect timing with you, corn prices. Corn prices are on the rise. Corn prices are a key denominator in a lot of the things that we have at our disposal we spend money on, Scott, because corn prices affect literally everything from, you know, meat to what's at the grocery store, and they're going up because we've got this mandate across the country that we use ethanol 10% of, and 15 in some cases. So it's driving up corn prices, which why we don't just get rid of that. As a car guy, we don't need it, but that's a whole nother discussion. Either way, it's going to drive up corn prices. How does that affect all this?
If corn prices go up because they're a lot of processed foods, probably going to have some corn in it. I mean, yeah, that matters. But I don't think it's going to kill things. Again, I think we have to look at it, you know, when we're going to have this inflation near term, but what is that going to settle back out to? Because the economy is going to heat up, but it's going to normalize back out. So I think 8 months from now, 10 months from now, that's when we're going to start to see the slowing back down, you know, and maybe next year we're probably going to level back off toward like a 3% growth level, and sort of what we were running prior to all this was around a 2.5% area. So I think things will even themselves out. It's just going to take a little bit of time to work through this.
All right, what's the Biden infrastructure job spending? By the way, it's not infrastructure, but what's that $2 trillion if he gets that passed as is, which most likely it will change a lot by then.
Tax rate to do it.
And that included into that. Yeah. How is all that going to affect things? What's your thoughts there?
Jacking up the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28% isn't great. So one of the things people aren't talking about with that is that could actually keep some of the inflation dialogue in check.
Okay.
Because it could reduce spending.
Okay.
That would be an interesting thing. You know, one of the other things going on here, I know where people are very worried about money printing. The Federal Reserve has actually done a couple of things, stealthy things, that are taking liquidity back out of the system that aren't being talked about a lot. One of those things was a supplementary leverage ratio for banks. They lowered it during the financial crisis so that the banks would lend money. Right. And this is basically some money that they have to reserve versus what they're holding.
Exactly.
Well, they let that expire at the end of March and went back up. So at the time when they lowered it, that was $1.6 trillion of excess lending capacity. So think about another $1.6 trillion of money put out in the financial system. That just came back out.
Yeah, that's true. That comes back. Okay, so, good point. No, good point.
And if you also look at what the Treasury did at the end of the year, it was a really savvy move by Mnuchin that, you know, people have kind of forgotten about. But he told the feds they have to give them back $429 billion. So what the Federal Reserve was doing with that money at the time that they had been given back in March as part of the CARES Act, they were levering that up on a 10-to-1 ratio to lend that into the financial system with these special purpose vehicles. Mm-hmm. So a special purpose vehicle that was worth $700 billion had $70 billion of Treasury backing. Well, so you basically have to look at it. Mnuchin just pulled another $4.3 trillion of liquidity back out of the system. So while the Congress is passing some additional stimulus measures and basically pumping more money out there, there is also about $6 trillion worth of liquidity that's coming back out that isn't really noticed as much. It's not a big headline feature. So that offsets some of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that is a good thing. So what I would tell people is, you know, if you want to look for ways that you can protect yourself, and again, we talked about this before, through investments, I would look at things that are going to benefit from, you know, sort of old economy plays and growth. I would look at banks because if you believe rates are going to go back up gradually, banks are going to start making more money in lending. And then if you want to look at the flip side of that, you know, again, energy. Energy is people are going to drive more. People are going to get out more. Mm-hmm. Energy prices are going to get higher. And companies like Exxon are going to make more money as a result.
Yeah, and there's, you know, people like Caterpillar, John Deere that are making machinery for even though it's only $120 billion on the infrastructure, actual infrastructure side. Yeah, that means more of that equipment will be out on the roadway.
That's correct. And if you believe corn prices are going higher because they make tractors, it doesn't. I know that's not as much of their business as it used to be, but John Deere in particular, you know, a lot of people look at those things as plays on corn prices.
True. True. No, you're exactly right. Scott, as always, good stuff. How do folks find you?
Yeah, come check out StansberryInvestor.com. You know, and check out our paid stuff, our free stuff, and we're there to help the little guy.
All right. Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you very much. And Flesh and Beck is next. Kevin Flesh, there's this great little tip thing in front of me. I left it here for a reason. It's the top 10 reasons to hire a lawyer.
Oh.
I went through a couple of these yesterday.
I would like to know that reason. A lawyer
can present your strongest case. Okay. Why? Because they know how to present it in court. You don't. It's always better to avoid legal problems rather than fix them later.
True.
Okay. Good one. Lawyers know how to negotiate settlements and plea bargains where you don't. And by the way, last but not least, lawyers often provide a free consultation, which, of course, Kevin Flesh does. So if you want that consultation today on something you've got going on, give him a call, 303-806-8886, or find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, Novus Auto Glass, which, by the way, I'll talk to Kent from Sterling Novus Auto Glass in the morning, and he'll give me the straight scoop on corn because that's what they kind of do besides auto glass.
Oh.
They know corn very well. It's, you know, Eastern
I'm
Colorado.
I'm curious about that.
I'll find out. So I'll know more by the morning. And as far as all this corn stuff goes, I'll share that with you guys tomorrow. But if you need anything when it comes to auto glass, all of the locations can service you up and down the Front Range. Find a location near you by going to the website, rushtoreason.com/Novus. It's Novus. Novus is Latin for innovate. And don't forget, they work with every single insurance company. All you do is pay them deductible. They'll handle the rest. So again, rushtoreason.com/Novus.
Take control of the process with Novus Autoglass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops, so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Autoglass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Autoglass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Autoglass now at RushToReason.com.
Right now, anyone without health insurance may participate in a special enrollment period. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts for help finding the right coverage at the best price. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, guys, great day we've had today. I got just a little short segment left, and then we'll come back and talk about Al Smith in a minute and hear from him. But yeah, corn prices are going up, and Rachel during the break said, well, why? Well, because we have mandates in this country to use 10% ethanol, which the corn lobby, by the way, put into play. That hasn't, despite what anybody will tell you,
right,
has nothing to do with emissions. They'll all tell you that it does. We do that to reduce emissions. It's crap.
Okay.
Not true. Every car out there can do fine, run well, run clean without it. We do that because the corn lobby pushed it through, and they wanted farmers to make more money selling corn to ethanol plants, and that's why we have it.
Interesting.
Anybody out there can disagree with me, but it's the truth. We have it because of the corn lobby, and because we're using more demand, or there's more demand on the roads for fuel, then, of course, corn prices are going to go up because we need more ethanol.
Okay.
Simple as that. It's not a complicated equation.
Okay.
So, we'll talk more about that, by the way, tomorrow and Monday. But in the meantime, again, Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, would love to help you. We just talked to Scott, talking about the financial futures, where we're at, inflation, how to fight it, all that. Al can help you with all that. Give him a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You can breathe easy, knowing you'll have enough money to live comfortably in retirement. Now you have the luxury of deciding how you'll spend that money to make it work even harder for you. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a plan to minimize taxes and fees so your savings last. Before you stop contributing to your 401k or IRA and start taking distributions, you'll want to have a plan in place to make certain your money will help you achieve your goals. If you should need long-term care at some point, you'll want to make sure your kids get a break. Al Smith will show you how to set up supplemental coverage so your kids have some help and it's already paid for. It's time to shift your focus from wealth accumulation to wealth preservation with KLZ's Retirement Planning Specialist. Set up a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, that's about it for this episode, I should say. Today's episode of Rush to Reason. Myself, Rachel King, Conservative Mama. Where can they find you again,
that's
Rachel?
That's my quick. Conservative Mama, M-O-M-M-A. I'm all over the place, social media. Check me out.
Right, next time you're on, you'll lead us in more.
Okay, I'll do
or
it.
Or in and out
I'm
some.
Excited.
We'll make it work both ways. So.
All right.
Good stuff. I appreciate her helping out, as always, and Andy as well. We'll be back tomorrow, by the way, with Andy. And he is going to do, because he's going to the movies tonight, he'll review Godzilla versus Kong, which, by the way, looks like a good movie.
Yeah.
So he's going to review that tomorrow. Also, we'll do movie rental reviews with myself, Andy, and Richard. And it's going to be tomorrow. So get these texted into us. Movies with religion. So it doesn't have to be a Christian movie. We're talking about movies with religion.
Okay.
If it's a movie you like, something with some meaning, whatever, let us know what it is. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Nice.
And then lastly, my topic, what responsibility do homeowners have when it comes to doing their due diligence before moving into a house or a neighborhood? Talk about that as well. So we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. The first hour is up next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.